Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we're Champion Chat 360.
And welcome to another episode of Champion Chat 360. I'm laughing because the animals are already fighting and literally it's only 9 seconds into the podcast. So, yeah, you're going to hear them fighting behind and you are going to probably hear them barking because they're just jerks. But hi, Danica, how are you today?
I'm good. Okay, that keeps it real, right? It keeps it real life.
Serious.
I'll probably hear my dogs in a second, too. Okay.
I usually like to take their chains off because sometimes that helps without the clitter clatter, but then you just hear their, like, growling. And I can take that out a little bit, but they're just animals, so I'll just completely shut them out. And then everything will be good. Then I can't see them and Dress will eat anything in the house, so that's the only thing that worries me. Oh, there goes Bebo barking. Don't bark. Now he's looking at me like, sorry, Mom. Okay. Anyway, sorry. So today we have all right, so we've got lots to do today. We'll do a little update about us. Yeah. We'll do an update about the main event. And then we have a shit ton of questions.
I know. I'm excited.
So let's start with a little update. How you doing, Mama Bear?
I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I remember people saying your second trimester is fine. And then once third trimester hits, like this exhaustion hits again. Mm-hmm. And I was doing actually really well. Like last week into like the beginning of this week was really good. And then the last 2 days, I was like, oh, this is not fun. Like I remember this and I don't like it. And I mean, it's okay. You know what? I think I felt a little bit of Braxton Hicks today. Like I was in Lowe's and it got really, 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 really tight and like way down by my pelvic was like tender and I did not want to walk. Matt was like, why are you waddling? And I'm like, I can't walk. Like there's something's happening. Something weird is happening.
Something's happening.
And pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm in the same boat as you. I'm like, I think this is what this is. I have no idea. Let's just roll with it.
Right. I know. But I mean, other than that, I think I'm just getting anxious, which who am I to talk when like you and Minute could go? So how are you feeling?
So honestly, today was like the first day. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to meet with Danica. What if it's today? What if it's today? What if today I go? So I had a little bit more. I actually had more like the period cramp kind of feeling that they describe as a Braxton Hicks a few more times. But it didn't happen after I laid down for a little bit and I was fine. I was really tired after my workout. I was really pretty tired after my workout, but nothing. I didn't do anything crazy, just my normal, but just trying to, you know, make things happen in my everyday life and not freak the fuck out. I was like, I know I texted you. I was like, hey, I need to run some errands. And then I was trying to talk to Mike too. I was like, give me your list of food you want for snacks because I'm going to Sam's Club to have it. And he's just like, you need to relax, because I'm like, nope, we need to have food here. I'm not going to be able to leave the house for a week. I can't drive for a week after whenever it happens. I don't know when it's going to happen. And he's like, Christy, I will be here every day. And I'm like, will you? You have to work? Like, it was terrible.
Aww.
Yeah. So.
You know what one of my friends said, or one of my clients said, to make sure for your hospital bag, obviously you have stuff for the hospital, but to also have a food bag. Yeah. And I like didn't even think, I don't know why I didn't think about that, but he was like, there might be like he's a surgeon, so he works in ER, but he's like, there are times that people are like, I do not want hospital food. Mm-hmm. And I wish I brought my own food. Mm-hmm. So to have like a food bag that you have with you and not just for wife, but for hubby too.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving that up to Matt.
Yeah. I will do that. I've gotten back into And Mike was making fun of me yesterday. He was like, "What's the chicken for?" I'm like, "Well, it's because I'm getting back into like my absolute everything's gonna be planned out meal plan." Because I had been more lackadaisical and just been like, "Oh, I'll eat this or cook this today or whatever." But now it's like, I'm gonna have food planned, measured, and portioned out so that just so I can get used to having the calories I need again for breastfeeding and then also delivery, because I'm kind of looking at it as carb loading, carb and fat loading, every food loading, so that my body has the energy going into labor. So I just want to make sure that not
It's a
only,
refeed day.
yeah, it's a refeed 2 weeks because I have 2 weeks from today. So I'm just making sure I have the right amount of food with me just in case, or that I'm eating the right amount of food today just in case. So like after this I'm gonna go eat my ground I think it's ground turkey, and I've got like a cup of rice, and one of my classic things I make during prep is like a stuffed pepper. So it's a stuffed pepper, but
Oh, yeah.
I put cheese on it now since I'm not in prep and I love cheese. So but yeah, so I'm in prepping mode for labor.
I love it.
Yeah. And just trying to relax and not be. I just sent a. My girlfriend Megan is 10 weeks pregnant, and she went through IVF and just, a lot of struggle and stuff with that. And she's like, "How are you doing?" And I sent her, like, "Here's what's going on in my head." And, for all of you who think, like, I'm the easygoing one, I am not the easygoing one. And this is the private example of how this is what happens in my life and in my head. I said, "Here's my list of what's going on in my head. My game plan, because again, I'm a planner. I have to know when she's going to show up. When she does, is Mike here or not?" That sets into the action. A, calling Mike, or B, calling mom. C, trying to plan when Mike can be here before the contractions get too long, too close, and I have to drive myself to the hospital or call someone else. Two, if it's night or
Oh,
day, I
man.
know if it's night or day where I'm gonna be, South Portland or Biddeford, on the road, at home by myself, which also adds into the next thing. Who's gonna take care of the dogs? Who do I call depending on the time of day? Who will it be? Leave a list, get a list of dog to do things for the person. Next. Phone list of people who call and tell them I won't be showing up tomorrow. Make sure there's a message sent knowing that I will not come in. Oh shit. This is my life, Danica. This is what goes on in my head.
Oh, man.
That didn't even like tell like the good things, like call
Oh,
mom. Oh, so that's what happens to me like before a show and stuff. Like my anxiety gets all kicked up, and that's where my anxiety. I'm not worried about the pushing and everything yet. I'm worried about just like the shit that has to get done before I get all that going.
yeah.
So that's why Mike told me to come down.
I get it. And my friend would tell you that's a full list. You
Yes.
can throw it the fuck out the window now.
Right, but I'm like, oh, I gotta say all these things. The good thing is, like, if I forget to call someone, a client or something, they'll know, like, oh, she probably went into labor, and then they can like check a social media output or something. And then the only thing I'm really worried about is the dogs. That's the only thing I guess I'm really worried about, and Mike, like wherever he is. But my girlfriend is going to. She lives just down the street, so she's gonna probably take the dogs if it's the middle of the night. Or my brother can come up if it's like during the day or whatever. But anywho, I digress. So enough about me and my craziness and my baby planning, or thought I was planning.
And the baby.
We have a ton of questions. We've got questions that were emailed to us, questions from clients, questions from Facebook. So, man, where do you want to begin?
Yeah, let's start with your list of questions.
So let me pull them up while we're doing that. Okay. So these are some pretty interesting questions. A lot of them are going to have to do with shows because, oh, shit. Shows. Should we do a little update first of our last show?
Let's talk about the main event.
Okay. So this past weekend was the main event. So speaking of baby craziness, the only goal was that she did not come before that or on that day. So check, she listened to her mom and she stayed in for a little bit longer. So that's a plus. And I had some girls in it. Danica had some girls in it. We actually had a cool thing happen. I will talk about some of my girls. I had Abby come up from DC. This show was a huge show. She was not expecting, I don't think, how many people. The classes were big. They were about, I'd say, 12 people per class. There was three opens. And it was a good show. A lot of stiff competition, I would say, for sure. Some of the numbers were really close with the girls, and it was really kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
And some of the girls, it was like, ooh, wow. And it was that one thing that we'll talk about it later that kind of stood out that made the winner, I think. So we'll talk about it in a second. My girl, Jen, who came in third in open, she actually did a great job. She was having a little bit of life struggles, which is kind of a cool thing. We'll kind of talk about some life struggles for question-wise, but she overcame a lot of just issues. Like, everything came up. Boyfriend problems, job problems, life problems. It all came up. It's going to when you're doing a show. And she overcame it and just focused on the goal. And she came in third in her open. And then I had a few newbies. So I had Gabby, who is a labor and delivery nurse, by the way. And I have a 1 in 7 chance of having her as my nurse at the hospital. So I thought that was kind of funny.
That is.
She placed third and fourth in her first show. And she looked great. She used to be in pageants. She has really good stage presence. And the only thing I think she needs work on is just filling the poses a little bit more. Maybe a little bit smaller waist. And she'll be a really good contender, I think, in the future. Then I had Ronnie, who was his first show. Corey, his wife, I've worked with her in the past. And he did a keto diet for his first time, for his first show. Yeah, so he did pretty well. He wasn't as lean as we'd like, but he also slipped a disc. So the lifting and the cardio came down a little bit, but we still worked with what we could do. Sandra, who is my spicy, sassy Latino, she is hilarious. Oh, I love her to pieces. She has so much stage presence. It's ridiculous. Like, just like oozes stage presence, and it's so much fun to watch her. And she came in third in Masters. And then my last one was Hannah, who was her first show as well. And she won her novice and her open. And she ended up going against Danica's client, who ended up winning, which is kind of a fun thing. We're going to post pictures. So we had two of the girls in the overall for both the, it was only two novices. So our girls were against each other for the novice, and then we had three girls in the open, Danica's client, my client, and then a fellow IFPA pro, Jane Campbell's client. So it was kind of neat to see all of our girls. It was like the second generation. It was kind of really cute and really cool. I don't know. I felt like a proud mom, an aunt almost to everyone.
Yeah. I was so happy. So I actually just had Mariah, my client, in there for bikini, and then I knew friend and recent, or she used to be my client, and then she started actually working with Andrew, Sarah Feld, who's a close friend of mine, but she did her second bikini or figure competition. She was there too, but Mariah did with me. I've actually judged her, and she reached out to me randomly and said, I really want to do a show. And I don't think her and I have a good relationship when it comes to, like, I don't need to post about it. We don't need to talk about it. She is so good at, okay, this is what it is. I'm going to stick to it. No ifs, ands, or buts, and pedal to the metal, and that's it. So I really wish I was there because, obviously, I wish I was there knowing that, like, she won her pro card. But one of my biggest things to her, because I judged her too, I said, you need to be a little bit fuller when you come in this time, because she comes in really lean. And I think she was 3 or 4 pounds up for this show. And as a coach, I felt like I did exactly what I felt like I wanted her to present on stage. And she was so hesitant because she's like, I'm not used to being this way on stage. And like, I promise it's going to be good. Yes, but I'm so proud of her. So now she will be competing at the Gaspari.
Yeah, that's awesome. I thought she looked great.
Yeah.
And she posted the picture of like her butt transformation. And I think that's important that you said that because, you know, you look at her pictures and she's got a really small waistline. So you think like maybe she is like what you're saying, maybe a little bit lighter. But I would never know from her pictures, especially that she's 4 pounds heavier, like I don't want to say 4 pounds doesn't matter because it does in our world. But for those who aren't in the world, it's nothing, but it can make the body look completely different from 4 pounds. So she looked great. I'm glad that she trusted you because she had the stage presence. And that was the other thing, too. She had that confidence that I think, and maybe it's because I know her. I wasn't judging, but I was standing on the side. And I think that's one of the things that I really think got it for her. She had that confidence in her.
Yeah, I'm very proud. I'm happy for her.
Excellent. So sorry, we're both breathing and trying to stretch our stomachs, and sometimes it's...
Did you? I know. I was just like trying, like, holding the girl, get off of my ribs. It's not okay. Not cool, kids.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to talk about our questions. So we're going to get into some of the questions that have come up, and this isn't one that we've got that was emailed. It says, "Hi, ladies. My friend and I, we like to do shows together, but we have different coaches. I'm getting the feeling from our coaches that they don't want us to hang out. What would you do in the situation? Have you come across this? And what is your advice?"
Good question.
Personally, I thought it was silly.
Ugh. Like I feel like people need to grow up.
Yeah.
Is that harsh? Like,
no, I mean,
like, what's fun?
I was shocked. What, like, here, okay, let's break it down. So why would another coach be worried about you, another competitor, being around their competitor? When I think about it, I'm guessing it's insecurity from that coach. That coach is insecure for some reason or whatever. Because here's the thing. Everyone does things differently, coaches. But even some competitors in their coaching files will have different things because guess what? Everyone's different. I don't know where this coach is coming from. I don't know if they're thinking the person's a bad influence, but here's the other thing. Who are you to judge someone if they're in a bad influence or not? Like, I don't know. I just thought it was really dumb.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, there are a lot of girls that are training with Andrew. Like, Andrew is their coach, and I have clients that work with me, and our girls hang out together. And I tell them from the get-go, maybe this is something that the coaches should learn. Like, if you plan on working with me, then I am your go-to person. I am your coach. So if you have questions, like, it's inevitable that you're going to hear people want to know, what are you eating? What is your plan? How much cardio, da, da, da. But just keep in mind, you hired me for a reason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you need to make sure and reiterate as their coach that, like, they need to listen to you and follow your path. And everybody's going to be different. And if they have questions, they need to come to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I mean, but that's the other thing, too. Like, a client should know that there's different things that are going to go on, because you could listen to a different podcast and get something different. You could go on bodybuilding.com and get something different.
Totally.
Your coach has a reason why they have you on that path. But Heather, Mallory, and I did all kinds of shows together, and we traveled all the time together. And this happened to me a couple times where I had a couple of her coaches that she's had in the past that were a little standoffish to me, because I was a coach and another competitor, and they just didn't want me giving her tips. And I didn't give her tips. I respected her plan. I didn't want to not give her tips because you don't want to fuck up anyone else's. And I think that's what a good coach, another good coach or a good competitor will be like, oh, this is what's for me. Like, it's not for you. You know, another coach won't be like trying to step on another competitor's toes either, or another coach's toes. Let me rephrase that. They should not do that.
Okay.
And I've had people come to me just for posing, and they ask me about their meal plan, and I say, that is all you and your own coach. Like, I don't have a say in this. Like, just trust whatever they're giving you.
Right.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
So I guess our advice for that is don't take it personal and just know it's probably from that coach.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of move from there.
Right.
Question number two, buying and selling used soup. So how, when, and prices that are good to sell it at and buy it at. So you do a cool thing that you told me about. You rent your suit.
Yeah, I love my suits, and I don't want to give them up.
Right.
So I will rent out my suit, and I guess the price depends on how much I purchased it for. So I, and also, like, to be honest, there's a little bit of sentiment behind the price too. So the suit that I won the Yorton in, I think that is a special suit.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to have somebody borrow it, then the price is going to be a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I like to rent mine out because I like my suits. I think that if you are done with competing and you know that, then what I would do is just say, how often did it, like, how many times did I wear this?
Mm-hmm.
The same with anything else that you have. But social media is amazing. And if you just take a quick snapshot of you in the suit and then the suit on its own and post it and say suit for sale, private message me for details, I think that's a great way to do it. When it comes to suits, though, make sure that people are, before they purchase it, it's always good for people to try it on or for you to let them know your measurements. Because remember, suits, most suits are specifically altered to your body. So you have to kind of take that into account, and everybody's body is different. So I have girls try it on first before they make that decision that they want to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a buyer, you should note that to yourself before you just say, I love it, it's beautiful, let me buy it. Also know how, what is the alteration. So if it's going to be too big, you can get it taken in. If it's going to be too small,
yeah,
you might need to tighten up for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. I have all my suits and I am very sentimental and I don't want to sell them either. Even my first one, which is too big for me. The bottoms are too big and I will never wear it again. Maybe I'll wear it like now. I can put it on now, but but I'll never sell them. But I love your idea of renting them. I think that's a really cool idea. Another thing, I'm on a Facebook group. It's called the Bikini Exchange. It's a closed group, but you can join. Anyone can ask to join. And there's a whole bunch of girls selling their suits on there. So you can get suits from all over the place. There's different, they put different pictures. Here, I'll send it to you, Danica. Like, I will see if I can add a member and add you. But it's pretty neat because you can get any suit. You can sell your own suit. I've actually posted in there for our podcast before because it's all girls and suits. It's not like,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the groups for like, if it fits your macros, it's kind of like that, but all suit. I don't know if I'll ever sell any of mine because actually Carrie, who was just on our last show, she did something really cool with her suit from the Yorton and she put it in a shadow box. And that's my next, that's like what I'm going to do when I officially say I'm never doing a show again. I'm going to put that suit in a shadow box with my medal. Yeah, so Bikini Exchange, you can ask to be a group. If you want me to add you to it, I can. I just put Danica on there, so you can ask Danica too if you want. eBay, I mean, I'm sure they have it all over. But just listen to those tips from Danica about the sizing is going to be important. Pricing, I mean, that can vary from person to person and suit to suit. Some of the suits,
right.
I mean, they are worn, so it's kind of hard to price them. You know, some of these suits are ridiculously expensive, but I think more as people are getting into this field, they might become less expensive because more people can bedazzle them themselves. So you never know. Keep an eye out. So that is that. Question number three. I really did well in my first show, placed third. In her second show, she placed second. So she kept getting better. This is awesome. My last show, though, I placed fifth. I have a plan to do one more show. Should I pull out and go back to the drawing board because my placement went down, or should I keep going? So I thought this was an interesting thing. Danica, what are your thoughts? So she did three shows. Her placing was getting better, but then one show she still placed, by the way, and then, but her placing was fifth.
So I would say that I would want to look at all three shows, see what was the competition. I would want to see the winner. So, like, what were the judges looking for at that show? Because no matter how we spin it, judges are always going to have a certain look that they're going for, whether we want to admit it or not, it's just going to happen. So to see who was the winner and how up against them do I compare my physique, and then to see the progression in each show would be important too. It's, you need to realize that every show, just because you've done 10 shows, doesn't mean you're going to finally get first place. Like, it,
preach.
Your body's going to change the more shows you do. Right. The more shows you do doesn't mean that, like, you deserve to win. It doesn't happen like that. So you need to see a progression in your physique. You need to take the judge's feedback and make sure that the judging panel that you are presenting your physique to is consistent with their judging across the field, which can be difficult at times. And then, you know, I think that bottom line, you need to listen to your coach. So your coach knows if you're progressing or not. If your coach thinks that it was fair to give you a fifth place based on the competition that you were up against, then it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as you know that you maybe progressed from, like, show one to show three, then awesome. Yeah. You're making progression. The placing is just a placing. Of course, it's great to win. Everybody loves to win. But if you can say, you know what, but I brought a better physique to this one, let's see what I can do next time, then I think that that's something to kind of focus on more.
Yeah, 100% agree. I really don't even have much to add to it. I think that's everything you said is perfect. And I love that unique point that you said about the judging panel. Like, are they consistent? So it's an interesting thing.
Right.
You never know. You never know I actually was talking to Gabby, and I said, I'm not going to guarantee you a win in the next show, but I think that if you keep moving forward in your progress, you'll definitely be hard to beat. And that's something that I think that you can go into. And that was a question that's a topic that we'll talk about later, but feeling like you deserve to win, or going in and thinking that you'll be tough to beat, is it the two differences between that? That's another thing we can talk about later. But yeah, no, that's a good point. Cool. All right, next. So this is another, well, these are a lot of, a couple questions about coaches, but how do I talk to my coach who was a sore loser about my placement? She's smirking.
Oh, I love this one.
So this is hard.
I love this one.
Because you're passionate as a coach.
I'm so familiar with this.
Right. So go ahead. You tell your side.
Yeah.
And then I'll tell mine.
So I think that if you are a good coach, then you are bringing up athletes that have good sportsmanship all around. I like to lay the facts out for my girls. So, like, I give them my opinion on things, and then I tell them, you better go up to number one and say congratulations. I don't care what your feelings are at this moment. You need to be a good sport and go up and congratulate them. And then I think that starts with the coach, though. I have seen so many people backstage, so many coaches, and they're saying, this is bullshit, I can't believe this. I mean, as a judge too, do you know how many people come up to me and they're giving me grief, and I have to sit there and say, I'm so sorry you feel that way. This is the criteria that I look for in a competitor. And unfortunately, your competitor should work on this and this and this if they wanted to place a little bit higher. Mm-hmm. The girl that I had winning had this and this and this. So I'm very honest when it comes to that, because I mean, you have to take emotion out of it. Like, you have to, because otherwise everybody would be going crazy. Like, I'm so sick of the people who, like, don't realize that it's a fucking sport. Like, you have a winner. Not everybody wins. Mm-hmm. It's a sport. Not everybody gets a fucking trophy. You're not entitled to a trophy. So, and as a coach, you also need to understand that and be okay with it and not think, oh, we should have done better, or what totally was the judges and they're blind. You know, that speaks volumes to who you are as an individual, and people are going to see that. And I have seen it, and I have seen people leave teams or leave coaches because of that. So I think that that's something to address. Like, if you have, you feel comfortable and confident addressing it with your coach, it's something to, you know, address and say, you know, I just like would like to brainstorm with you and how you feel about things, and just give me your honest opinion. Like, I want to be a good sport in this. I recognize that you don't win every one, but as my coach, I'd really value your opinion. And if you could just be honest based on the criteria given from the judges' feedback, that'd be awesome. If you can't do that, find another coach.
Yeah, my side of it is you want your competitor to win as a coach. You want your competitor to win, but, you know, sometimes it's not going to work and you might not see what they saw. So that's another thing you have to remember is you think so, and you can be like, ah, why the fuck that happened? But you have to be like, look, it just wasn't our day. Something different happened, you know? Like, you can't take it personal. My way of handling it, like, you can't be like, oh, it's personal, because hopefully it's not, and there's no personal anything about it. And it's just that girl had a little bit more than you did, like, stage presence, or a little less waistline, or more glutes, or whatever it was. But whatever they saw that day is what they wanted, and you have to remember that. You just tell your coach, like, slow his roll, or her roll, whoever it was. It sucks, but I've been there before. I've been like, ah, son of a bitch, that sucks. That doesn't make sense to me, but again, that's to me.
Yeah.
Do you want to go with some of the questions that we got off of Facebook next, or do you want to...
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So I actually got really good ones. Let's go actually with some that my clients, and these are clients that don't do shows too, have given to us. So this is a good one. Obviously, neither is here yet, so the answer may change as the years pass, but would you ever want your daughters to compete?
Mm-hmm. So funny story is ever since I was like in high school, I always said I never want my son or daughter to compete in wrestling, because I've seen like wrestlers have to cut weight, and I've just like, that's just not healthy, and just watching it all from the sideline. Now, granted, I was not educated in the field yet. I was in high school, maybe college, but for some reason it's different to me, which is not at all. And I was actually, I just finished Ronda Rousey's book, and she talks about how she had, you know, an eating disorder because of doing jiu-jitsu. So these are all things that you have to be weighed in. Same thing with gymnastics.
Right.
You don't have to be weighed in gymnastics, but, you know, weight is a factor. It's weird because when you send me this question, I was like, I know why I don't want her to, but I do want her to. So I don't want her to because I don't want her to have that stress of the weight, but I do want her to because I want her to know that weight is not the problem. Like, it's not an issue. It shouldn't be an issue, and that her self-worth is already there. So she can go into a show already knowing her self-worth is there. And this is just a mental and physical challenge to see how tough she is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I totally agree with that.
My goal is to build a little machine that knows that she's kick ass. And then she just wants to challenge herself, but doesn't have the mind fuck of the weight and the body image. So that's my goal.
Yeah.
Again, just like my worry list, I think I live in Rosebuds and Tulip Land, or Bubblegums and Rainbow Land.
I like that. I definitely, my answer is I don't know.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, I think that it all depends on, I mean, God only knows where shows are going to be 20 years from now, right? I want her to just be a badass chick mentally, physically, emotionally. And if I find that her mental and emotional well-being are slipping away because she's going after a goal, then that's something that causes concern to me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably when I would step in as a mom, no matter what sport it is, or what, you know, what challenge it is or what goal it is. So I think any goal that you go after, you need to kind of do those like checkpoints to understand,
right,
like, am I still mentally and physically and emotionally sane, mm-hmm, or am I losing my shit? And if I'm losing my shit, is it so far gone that I'm going to struggle a lot coming out of this goal? Is the goal that important to me that I'm okay with being a little not sane for a couple of weeks? And what is my why?
Yeah. So our answer, I guess, to that is our goal is to build well-adjusted females, which is, like we said before, that was the big thing when I found out it was a girl. Like, I was like, shit, I got to step my girl game up because of this. I think that's the biggest thing. Or it doesn't matter if it's a show or not. I mean, we listed some of the sports, but it could be dance. It could be ballet. You know, these depends on what it is. It could be she doesn't leave her room because she wants to go to Harvard, and she doesn't socialize because she wants to, you know, be in Harvard instead. The same thing. None of it's healthy if it's extreme, and just trying to keep them nice and rounded, I think, is more important.
Right. Agree.
Bubble gums and rainbows.
Rainbows and unicorns.
Yes.
Awesome. So this is another question that I think kind of ties in with this a little bit. And we got it from two people. So one person on Facebook actually asked us, is the week after a show hard? It seems harder than prep itself. Mm-hmm. And then another person asked, it seems like every time I get off of prep, I get asked the question, how do I transition into a normal lifestyle again without developing self-image issues? How do I love myself in my off-season when I've seen myself in my on-season face the coming down of my high once the competition is over? It seems like a lot of girls almost go into post-competition depression and forget how to love themselves once it's over. Whew. That's a loaded question.
We do things differently our first week after. So I will tell you mine and about what I do my first week. And then we'll go into the self-image things after. So let's handle it with what you do after the first week and then what we do about the self-image stuff. So my first week after a show, my Saturday, I have a cheat meal. My Sunday, we go out for breakfast. 90% of my meals the rest of Sunday are usually, like, decent. They're probably not on plan 100%, but they're not crazy. So maybe if I'm on the road or something, it's a Subway sandwich, like a half of a Subway sandwich or something like that. The rest of the week, every meal but one thing is on plan, and then I give myself a treat. So after the Yorton, I couldn't even tell you what I had because it's a year ago, but usually it's like we'll go out to eat somewhere for dinner on Wednesday. I have a treat on Tuesday. On Monday, I might have like Chipotle instead of a couple of my meals, but still everything else, my breakfast is right on, my lunch, whatever number of meals you eat, you can call them breakfast, lunch, 1, 2, 3, whatever you want to call it. But that's what I do. So I have a little meal, a little treat. That's a bad word too, because then I feel like one of my dogs, but a little something that wasn't there before. And go from there. But I keep my workouts all the same. So I still work out the same cardio, the same workout, and just use those extra calories to push. And then I slowly cut down on my cardio, and my reverse is a little different. I don't reverse as hard as, like, Danica, who will tell you what she does now.
So mine is that night I go out to dinner. So I'll usually have like a nice dinner, and then I'll have typically like a dessert and like a small dessert. And then that Sunday, I'm right back on plan. And the reason why I do that is because I think that a lot of the times people want to get back on plan, but like I think that you're good at saying, and I'm going to have one treat,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and then the rest is going to be okay. Where I find that that's very rare,
yeah,
for a person to say, I just want one treat and the rest are going to be my meals. It turns into, oh, fuck it. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I'm just going to keep on eating.
Yeah.
And then that's where people slip up. So if I set the rule or whatever, the guidelines of Saturday, you enjoy yourself, you're with family and friends, take it all in, be in the moment, send it right back on. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of like room for you to be like, meh, let me extend this into like brunch and then lunch and then dinner and then fuck it, it's Monday, I'll just keep on going. So I think you do a really, really good job at that, and you're able to have that self-control still, where I have honestly yet to meet another person that can do that. So,
well, I think
go ahead.
You go first and I'll tell you why I'm like that. But I don't let my clients go as crazy, well, quote unquote. I hold my clients more accountable than me, but I give my clients a treat if they want it. But continue. I'll tell you why I am the way I am after.
Yeah. I think also another way that I think kind of works for people, and I discussed this with another girl today because I asked her about her plan after the show, and she isn't working with me actually, but we just wanted to talk about it. And she said, I really do want to do reverse dieting. And I've actually had clients do this, but she said, I really want to go into flexible dieting, like if it fits your macros rather than a meal plan.
Yeah.
I think that that is something mm-hmm. that is a really good combination of like what you do and what I do. Mm-hmm. As long as, so I reiterate this over and over again, you are still an athlete. So this people might get pissed off and I don't care, but you're still an athlete. Your body is not craving Oreo, like a package of Oreos. It's just not. Your body doesn't know what an Oreo is. Your mind mm-hmm. knows what an Oreo is, mm-hmm. and your mind and emotions are probably craving that Oreo. Right. So, like, I try to tell people, as long as it's nutrient-dense food, so I asked her, what do you want to change up? And she was like, I want yogurt and berries with, like, I want, like, a Greek yogurt. They have a pumpkin flavor, and I really want that, and I want to have oatmeal with a little bit of like dark chocolate chips in it and sprinkle some cinnamon on top. Like I just want to change things up. That is beautiful. She's like, I want mango and pineapple. Awesome. I love it. Mm-hmm. Like as long as you can, in your flexible dieting or whatever, you don't hit your macros by like sleeves of Oreos and pints of ice cream and going to like Five Guys. Because guess what? Like that's not your hormones are bound to get fucked up. Mm-hmm. You're gonna probably guilt yourself a little bit, and you're not gonna feel good. Like I don't know why people are so shocked by this. Yeah. Like Five Guys on a daily basis doesn't make you feel good. It's
right.
just not nutrient dense. Like
right.
just break it down, simplify it for yourself. So I think. You know, Andrew doesn't like if it fits your macros for that reason alone, because people are like, oh, but it fit into my macros. Mm-hmm. I like it if you're choosing nutrient-dense foods.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that. That's kind of what that's what I do is the mm-hmm. first couple weeks, I just slowly add things back into my clients' diet, meaning getting their macros back to where they want to be. So where they want their weight to be,
yeah.
where they want their physique to look like. And we change the cardio accordingly. But as we get farther away from the show, I'm more lackadaisical with what their macros are filled with. But I've always been a big stickler, unfortunately. Actually, you know, it's funny you say that. It was actually Andrew who opened me up a little bit more to being okay with things that weren't as, I don't want to say nutritionist, but like before working with Andrew, I would never eat Panda Puff cereals, like the organic cereals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love them. And I'm like, to my people, I'm like, man, yeah, you can absolutely have something like that. Yeah, I used them. I loved them. Why not you? Like, it's funny because he doesn't like it if it's your macros. I know there's a purpose, like, for the quick source glycogen, but I'm like, yeah, have them. And then, but I've always let my people have the real foods like yogurt and stuff like that too. But yeah, no, I'm a little bit more lactose. So why am I the way that I am? It's because I don't give a fuck about food. And it's yeah. I don't have to worry about it killing me like you in that way.
Right. And that's why I am the
Right. I just don't care about taste of food. I don't care about what I'm eating. Like, I have things I like to eat, and I'm very routine because I'm not a cook. I'm not creative. So that's my thing of why it's not a big issue for me, because if I'm going to eat something, I'm just going to eat what I know I need to fuel my body. It's just fuel. I'm so detached from the emotion behind it. And I say that right now, being pregnant, where I haven't had a lot of cravings. But this past week, I was like, man, it'd be great to go get a caramel apple at a fair. But yeah, so that's why I am the way I am. And that's why I don't have a lot of food issues. Are there times that I want to, you know, just be like, ah, fuck it, let's go get a frozen pizza or whatever. But yeah, of course. But, you know, that's just being lazy sometimes. But I'm honest with myself on that one, too. So now the second part of that.
Yeah.
Is the self-image stuff.
I could totally go. Okay. So that's hard. Yeah. Like, that's, I think I just posted something about, like, increasing in 10-pound increments. Mm-hmm. And you have to, I think that a big thing is recognizing that what you visually are seeing, it's like, think of it like this, like, let me give like a different example. If you say you have this beautiful like room that's painted, it's just white, right? And it's painted white and it's nice and crisp and clean, and like this is what you've been accustomed to. So like you have months and months and months of that. And then all of a sudden you paint it like green. It's going to take a little bit of time to adjust to that, like visually, right? So I think with change, people don't recognize that, like, our visually, you've become so accustomed to seeing yourself in a certain light and a certain way, and to accept the change is going to take some time. Like, it's not a switch that, like, turns over. Maybe for some people it is, but I just think that it takes a little bit longer than people expect, or they get frustrated when it doesn't change so much. You're doing your mouth thing. I know you want to get in there.
I'm waiting. I'm just waiting. I'm thinking about what I'm going to say. Because it's funny.
I just think that giving yourself some time to accept the change and to understand what the purpose of the change is really important. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the times, too, we have to remember that, like, okay, so this was, I looked like this for this reason because this was the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm looking like this for this reason because here's the purpose of this. To remember that over and over again and to remind yourself of it, it's really good to have support around you to remind you of it. And that doesn't define you. Like, it doesn't define who you are as an individual. But when you are going through a prep, remember that the focus is on your physical being, right? So it almost becomes something that does define you. It becomes who you are in that phase. So now you're just shifting that and letting it go a little bit and realizing that you have so much more that people are looking at other than like your shredded fucking shoulders. Like, no one, if you have good friends, then, and good people around you, they're going to love you no matter what. But yeah, it's hard. It takes time. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't happen overnight.
I remember one of the reasons why I never wanted to do shows in the first place was because I saw a few girls back before I ever did shows rebound real hard and gain a lot of weight back. I remember thinking, like, I don't ever want to do a show because I don't want to look like that after. Like, I don't want to be like, holy shit, that person just looked like this and now they're huge. And we'll say relatively huge, like a big jump, like let's say 30, 40 pounds, whatever it is, for a person's body. That's different. Actually, that's one of the things is I kind of remember how judgy and a shithead I was when I saw that. So that kind of reins me in a little, which is such an asshole thing, but it's true. Like, I keep myself kind of old because I'm like, do you remember when you were an asshole? Well, you were. Don't go crazy. That's part one. Part two is leading by examples. I think for our point of view, from Danica's and I's, we are still personal trainers. So in the end, we're not just show people, we're personal trainers. So that's why I stay healthy and get to the healthy part a good time frame. Now, for those who aren't personal trainers. Danica said it. You had just put yourself through this whole thing, and people who don't know this world will be like, well, aren't you going to stay there now? Or they're going to say snippy things that they don't really know are snippy because they just don't know. They're right. uneducated. So you can't let that be a factor. But I think some people train for a show thinking they're going to stay there their whole life. And I think we as a community need to do a better job and tell people that's not going to happen. That's not,
right.
you're not meant to be there, and just be more aware of it. Now, if you're someone who is doing this because a bucket list, so there's different people who say different things about this, right? Some people say not everyone should do shows. And some people say anyone can do a show if you really want to. I know Andrew's kind of a hard ass on this. I'm on the other side of the fence where I'm like, if anyone wants to do a show and challenge yourself, do a show and challenge yourself. I don't care what it is. So,
right.
but if you're someone over here who is, you want to do a show to challenge yourself, but you have a lot of weight to lose, or it's a big goal and, you know, you're not going to be on the NPC or IFBB stage, and you know that, just know that. Like, be real with yourself of where you are.
Right.
And that there's two separate, like, avenues. Actually, I heard this on the TNT podcast. There's the guy, one of the guys said, there's bodybuilding, and then there's competitive bodybuilding. So if you're going to be a competitive bodybuilder, you're going to have to
yeah. take
balls to your walls. Like, we're going to have Nate on soon, who is amazing, and he does NPC. He's competitive bodybuilding. But if a guy came on who just, like, was, I don't know, mid-30s, wanted to lose, like, 40 pounds and just do a show, that's different.
Right.
And I know I got kind of off the topic, but there's a difference in where you're ending up for the show. So that also means there's a difference between where you should be after the show, because your life was only there for a day. That's it.
Right.
The other factor of that is, I think it's really important, and I'm a big person on this, is, and this is another thing that I wish our community would do a little better on, is self-help or self-guidance through shows. Whether it's like your coach is like a life coach and gives you things to read or just helps you through it. Maybe it's because, I don't know, I don't want to say it's a male dominated field, because that's sexist, but I just don't feel like there's enough people talking about the emotional part with it through the whole thing to make people realize, you know, where things are going to be, especially to females, to other females, which is why we do this podcast.
Yeah.
You have to check, like you said earlier,
yeah.
check in with yourself. Check in with your real self, not this thing that's going to be on stage. So,
right.
That makes
sense. I think, you know, something that I've been doing more, I do it with my boot camp all the time, but like I've been able to do this with a lot of my clients too. I have them give me non-physical things that they're happy about or that they're proud of, or accomplishments during the week.
Yeah.
So they can send me their updates about like their weight and their progress and their pictures and stuff like that. But I need more than that, because they're more than that.
Right.
So if they can send me too. And I also took my nursing exam and I got this on it, and I'm so excited. I can't wait for placement. Or I was able to go to my grandma and grandpa's anniversary or something that's completely not physically related, because if all you're focused on is your physical being, guess what? That's what you're going to be focused on afterwards.
Yeah, agreed. You got to always be checking in and being better you in everything you do. So, awesome.
Right.
If you need help with that, we've got some good books and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. We have a booby question.
Yes.
And not a good one. We have a booby question. One of the clients said, For someone who has lost their boobs because of shows, but struggles with whether or not implants would be an option, getting curious about what made you decide to go with breast implants. Was it related to the pressures from the competition world? Or was it purely a personal desire to feel more feminine? How do you feel about them now? How do you feel about the seemingly increasing number of competitors who do go this route?
Boobies. First off, I don't think anyone should get boobs just for a show, personally. For a show. Because they will show, but not for a show. If you're going to get boobs,
right.
get boobs for your own self for the rest of your life, because these suckers are going to, I mean, you can, yes, you can take them out, but it's a commitment. We both have, we both have had our boobs done before we did shows though, right? Did you have yours before shows, Danica?
No.
Okay.
I got mine after two shows.
Okay.
Three shows, sorry. After three shows.
Now, personal question, was it for shows or was it for other reasons?
Not at all.
Okay.
So it wasn't for shows. It was because my ass is big.
Right.
And I wanted to balance out my physique. Mm-hmm. And I kept on saying to myself, I cannot do bench press, push-ups, and all these chest exercises and grow my boobs. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. I can grow delts. I can develop my lats a little bit more, but the tits aren't coming with the amount of chest workouts I do. So that was something that I really wanted to do. And I always had a very, very small chest, and I wanted to feel more like a woman. Like I would always feel like a 12-year-old boy, and I didn't like that. So.
Yep. I got boobs before shows. I got my boobs done actually when I was like 24, and I got them because I was tired of looking down in my workout clothes and my ribs sticking out more than my boobs did, or even probably my nipples did. So that's why I got them. I was called Wonder Woman as a kid slash teenager, not in a good way. I was wonder if you'll ever wear a bra. So that was kind of sad. I was bullied.
Oh man.
I don't laugh about it now, but it was true. I was actually bullied a lot about it, but I got them for the same reason. I have a butt and legs, but I had no chest. So I just wanted to be more symmetrical, mm-hmm. like even it all out. But then I wanted to have boobs, and I had the money, and I've always joked about it. And I was like, well, since I have the money, might as well get some boobs. And I personally, this is going to be terrible. I think if you want them, get them, because they're the best thing that ever happened to like my clothes. I mean, now all my clothes, like I keep all my clothes from high school and college, and they still look great. But I do not think you should get them just for shows, because you probably are not going to do shows in 5 to 10 years. Just being real.
Right. Yeah.
But if it makes you feel good and it doesn't put you in too much debt, do it.
Do it.
So.
Yeah. I love them. Absolutely love them. It's like the best thing ever. And they make me feel like I'm like my age. They make me feel like I'm actually like a woman.
Right.
And I know that there's more to a woman than just boobies, but yeah, I like them.
So does Matt. I love it. Mike was with me when I was a teenager and in like college and then after, and he said, he take me either way. And I was like, thanks, babe.
Yeah.
It was cute.
That's what Matt said.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, he always actually tells me he's a leg guy anyway, so I'm like, okay, thanks. Yeah, do what you want, girl. If you want them, get them, but don't just get them for, and that goes also for, don't get them for a guy either. Like, it's not just shows, but don't get them for anyone else, just get them for you, and you'll be happy, I swear, if you do it for you. But if you get them for someone else, you won't. You'll always hate it and stuff like that, so.
Agree.
Cool. We have a big question that I kind of wanted to talk about, but I think we should save it for next time. Do you think?
Am I missing one?
Nope. It's the difference between confident and cocky.
Oh, yeah. Let's definitely save that one for next time. I like that one.
Okay, cool. And I think a good thing is we can open with it for, because I got it from Ronda Rousey's book. I can go into it more next time, but just reading her book, it was interesting because she's a winner, but Mike was asking me about how, if it changed my thoughts about her, and I can just go into more detail about that next time. But yeah, it was interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. That was a lot of good questions. Thanks, guys. We will keep doing these every once in a while. So the good and the bad is that we're going to try to keep recording in the next couple of weeks. There will be a week that we'll probably miss. Or it will be a different kind of podcast, but we'll see. You guys will be right around.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll just add you to my crazy list of what to do. Like, oh, update the podcast. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that. Sorry, guys. Awesome. So, Danica, what's one thing that you're thankful for today?
One thing that I am thankful for is things are coming together as far as the baby shower.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful for my friends who have, like, helped me,
mm-hmm.
including you. I'm so thankful for, like, because I am friggin' lost sometimes. I'm sure you felt that way in the beginning, but I'm thankful for the guidance that I've had for mommies, from mommies, and their advice on, like, what's necessary and what's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is yours?
That I haven't given birth during this.
Although I will give birth to, like, maybe a liter of water right now.
Right. Seriously, I have to go pee too. So we're going to wrap this up. You can reach us at championchat360@gmail.com. You can reach us both at our own personal Instagram and Facebooks and everything. Send your questions to the email or DM us. Whatever works for you. We hope you have a great day. Hopefully, in some ways, I hope I talk to you guys next week. Sometimes maybe I don't want to talk to you guys next week because I want to be having a baby. But you guys have a great week, and we will talk to you soon. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, guys.